Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. On behalf of Pastors David and Nicole Binion, thank you for joining us today at the Dwell Church Podcast. For more information about Dwell Church, visit us at dwell.church. Now, let's listen to today's message.
Today we're going to talk to you, we're going to begin a series this month. We're going to talk about vision. We're calling it Eyes to See.
Yeah.
And as we get started, I want to just share just a little tidbit, a little personal testimony. Many of you may not know this, but I'm just slightly colorblind.
Gasp.
Just a little bit. It's like, it's kind of weird. Like, I have this favorite blanket at the house that I forgot even where we got this blanket. And I thought it was kind of weird. Why do we have this pink blanket? Mm-hmm. But it feels so cozy, and it's my go-to blanket when I'm going to sit on the couch and watch TV. I like, if it's in the summer, I like to turn the air conditioning down below 70, so I'll require a blanket to cover up with to watch TV. If it's in the winter, I like to keep it below 70 just so I can get that little pink blanket. But turns out it's not a pink blanket. What color is it?
It's taupe. It's taupe. Tan.
So
taupe.
I'm confused. So mm-hmm. You say it's taupe. Last week,
it's beige.
Last
it's
week, beige. I had that blanket upstairs in the family room, and I fell asleep in the green chair.
And the chairs is not a green
and
chair.
And I wake up and I tell you, hey, I just fell asleep. I was up there with Carson. He's playing. I went up there to sit with him, and I fell asleep in the green chair. We've had this chair for 18 years.
We've had this chair a long time.
I came downstairs and told you I fell asleep in the green chair, and you says, we don't have a green chair. I thought it was green. Turns out it's taupe. So pink and green turn out to be taupe. When I'm driving at night, traffic lights, green lights look white to me. I can see yellow, so when the yellow light comes on, I know I got to hurry up
red?
And get through.
Can you see red? Please tell us you can see red.
And when I see red, I can see those big, bold colors, but it's more like the pastel. I don't know. They're just different tones of colors that I have difficulty seeing. You and I were at Dillard's a few years ago walking in the mall, and we walked We were walking through Dillard's. We were going to go out into the mall, and there's this rack of what I thought were white women's blouses. And Nicole says, isn't that a beautiful pink shirt? And I was like, I looked. I did a double take. I'm like, when I first saw it, it looked white to me. But when she said it was pink, pink came into view. I could suddenly see pink because she said it. I was just walking past, oblivious that it was pink. Just like a vague white to me. And she said, isn't that a beautiful pink shirt? And when she said it, I could see the color.
Yeah.
You know I'm on to something. He's ready. He's revved up over there. Here's the thing. In the book of Revelation, when John the Beloved, now John the Revelator, is writing to the seven churches, every time he would write a message to the church, he would say, he that has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And finally, at one point, John said, I turned and saw the voice. If you have ears to hear, you'll be able to see.
Yes, Lord.
God, we ask you today, as we launch into this month series of vision, what you're going to unveil and reveal to us
for the coming year.
In the natural and in the spirit realm, you're going to show us great things. You're already showing us. You're giving us vision. We understand without vision, the people perish.
Yeah.
But God, as we launch into this, we ask you to give us ears to hear. And in turn, let us see the voice.
Yeah.
Let us see with our eyes.
Yeah.
We ask this in the name of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Put your hands on your ears. Mm-hmm. Say, God, give me ears to hear.
God, give me ears to hear.
Put your hand over your eyes and say, God, give me eyes to see.
God, give me eyes to see. Okay. Yes, Lord. You know, as we began, of course, everyone is talking 2020. What a significant year it is. Obviously, we're entering into a new decade, which is powerful and significant. But 2020, obviously, meaning clear vision. So as we begin to talk about what we wanted to share in the month of January. This is going to be a series all month long in the month of January. Different ones of us will be sharing different things about spiritual vision and how to see. But I began to think about every time I pray for someone, I always pray that the Lord would give them ears to hear and eyes to see. So as I begin to look into scripture, there are a lot of scriptures that talk about ears to hear and eyes to see. But I went to Matthew chapter 13. And I'm just going to read this because Jesus says to his disciples in these scriptures I'm going to read to you, blessed are you because you have ears to hear and eyes to see. So, Father, I want you to say that to me. I want you to say that to me. Blessed are you, Nicole Binion, because you have ears to hear and eyes to see and a heart to obey. So Matthew 13.
Can I? Yeah. I'm interrupting you.
Absolutely.
Nicole was, we were kind of praying in the green room we have down the hall, and she said, God, help us not to interrupt one another today. I declare, Dwell Church, you have eyes to see. You have eyes to see. There is a rack of pink shirts that you thought was something else. But God has given us eyes to see. I declare to you prophetically, you will begin to see what you didn't see before.
Yeah.
Even in your dream life.
Yeah.
You're going to begin to see. Revelation comes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Matthew chapter 13, starting in verse 10 through 17, the disciples came to him. Jesus was teaching in parables. And so the disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? He replied, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. There's the heart. There's the heart piece. This people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it.
I like the King James Version. It says, to you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. I just want to tell you that.
Yeah.
I want to echo what we just said about eyes to see and ears to hear. I declare to you by the Spirit of God today, to you it's been given to know the secret things of the kingdom. So get ready for that.
Yeah.
This message today is for people who want to see.
Yeah.
We assume that the people of Dwell want to see. You want to have vision.
Yeah.
You think, well, of course I do. But it's like, it's kind of like the children of Israel. Moses had gone to the mountain, and God gave the invitation for all of his people to come meet at the mountain. And they were afraid. They said, no, Moses, you go meet with him.
Right.
You go meet with him and then come tell us what he said. Many of us,
well, we want to talk about what can block our vision and what blocks us from seeing. And oftentimes, so when we were talking last night and you shared that about the Israelites just saying, Moses, you just go. We don't really want to see for ourselves. You can come back and tell us. We were talking about sometimes we don't want to see because once we see, that means we have to deal with it. I remember years ago, we were on staff at a church, and I was in the pastor's wife's office, and she was having a meeting with just a few people, and her granddaughter, who was about 3 years old, was over in the corner, and she had gotten, I don't even remember, she had gotten into some stuff and was just getting it all out and was playing with and getting into stuff, making a mess, getting into stuff she shouldn't be. It wasn't dangerous, but it was just making a mess. And so someone in the meeting said, you know, Pastor Melody, do you see Chantel's over there getting, you know, making mess? She goes, I'm not going to look at it right now, because once I look at it, I'm going to have to go over there and deal with it and correct her. So right now I need to finish this for a minute, and then I'm going to go over there and see it. But so that's the thing. Once we see, that means we either have to ignore it and choose to ignore it and allow deception in, or make a change. And our flesh hates change. You know that, right? So when we have eyes to see it, we want a heart to obey what he's saying to us. But that's oftentimes what keeps us from wanting to see. So we want to talk about what do I need to be looking at, and what do I need to eliminate from my view.
Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. How many know this song?
For the Father up above.
So be careful, little eyes, what you see. Look at you. Sunday school people.
Yes. Yeah. How many of you have been to a restaurant called Buca di Beppo? Okay. It's an Italian restaurant. There's one over in Frisco. And it's like a family-style Italian restaurant. But if you've been there, you know this about Buca's. They have pictures all over the wall, okay? And some of them...
Very revealing pictures.
Well, I mean, some of them are slightly... It's like this whole Italian theme. Some of them are just fun. Some of them are a tad bit inappropriate. Obviously, nothing that can't be posted on a public wall. But our son...
I don't know. There's... I mean, there are...
Okay.
Boobs everywhere.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Okay.
Just go to Buca today, and now you'll see what I'm saying.
Buca's is going to, like, everyone's going to Buca's to lunch. They're going to have, like, a waiting list that.
So let's get on to.
Yeah, so I want to share this. The reason I brought this up is our 11-year-old son, Carson, is diagnosed on the autism spectrum, and God is doing a mighty work in him. But when we go to Buca's, he does not like to go to Buca's. This is how literal he is. Carson will not.
This is it the whole time.
Carson will not look up. He has, and I mean, so we've only gone there a couple times because I'm like, this is precious, right? First of all, we love the food though. So we have gone a couple times. But he keeps his, he will not look up because he has seen a couple pictures
first time
that he
we
knows.
Didn't, first time we didn't know, and he just was like, Carson, what's wrong? Carson,
yeah.
Look at me.
We
look.
Didn't realize.
He won't talk. He won't say anything. He's just doing this.
Yeah.
And so finally I said, let's go to the restroom, because I wanted to get him away from the table to just change the pace. Well, they have pictures in the restroom.
Yeah, pictures everywhere.
So we're in the restroom, and he's still kind of hiding. I said, Bud, is it because of the pictures? And he's just like, he still wouldn't say, but he shook his head.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah. But it's.
So we said, man, we could actually all really take a lesson from little Carson. What are we allowing in? It's the little things. And I mean, this right here is a whole world of distraction. Yeah. Distraction. It can be a blessing or a curse. So be careful, little eyes.
It's so, it's funny too. It's like we go out to Legacy West. And we're walking, we parked at Ballet, and we're going down to this restaurant, and we have to walk past the Victoria's Secret store.
Yes.
And Carson's like.
Yes, the picture's on the outside window.
Oh, for a people that will realize that it's important what you allow yourself to see.
Yeah.
It's important what you allow yourself to watch, what shows you allow to take into your spirit. Carson, as a child, is demonstrating someone who has boundaries.
Yeah, yeah. And this is not about legalism. This is about protection. This is about protecting. If you want to see, if you don't want to see in the spirit, if you don't want to see all that he has for you, then carry on. But if you want to see in the spirit than protect your eyes.
Jesus said in the Beatitudes, he said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's go here.
I want to read this one before we read this one. Job 31:1 says, I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a young woman or man, ladies. I made a covenant with my eyes. Bob Sorge.
Say, I make a covenant with my eyes.
I make a covenant with my eyes. Bob Sorge, who's been here and spoken at our church before, has a book called A Covenant with My Eyes, and it's a powerful, powerful book. But we're going to talk about what happened to your eye. Do you want me to read this scripture first?
It was two years ago. It was in December when it happened, when we first, it was the middle of December, I think around the 15th. We were at a Christmas performance in Orlando, Florida. And that evening, I just was having, this is how we discovered it. I couldn't handle the bright lights, the stage lights. It was very difficult. It was just, I spent the whole night squinting. It was easier to sit there and just close my eyes and until it was time for us to come up on the stage. It was really uncomfortable, just bizarre. And then the next morning, we're in the security line at the airport, and Gracie notices this spot on my eye. And you then check it, and I'll take a picture of it so that I can kind of scan
it. We Googled
it. We Googled.
Blister on the eye.
Went straight to the doctor after we got home, and we go into this eye doctor in Frisco, and there, this one guy's looking at my eye. He says, wait just a second. And he comes in with three other doctors. I'm like, oh, something is up. And then this older doctor, he says, this is the worst corneal ulcer I have seen in my entire career. And I'm like, I win! So they immediately put me on all these medications, but let's talk about what caused.
Yeah. So immediately went to a cornea specialist, and then they test the infection, because this is a like infection that is beginning to just ravage his eye, and so it was a fungal infection, which was the worst kind of infection. It wasn't a bacterial infection; it was a fungus. And so they said, what happened? He discovered that he hadn't been cleaning his contacts properly. He had been reusing saline solution. And so they said, there's a scratch on your cornea, and dirt got into your cornea, into your eye, because of this entry point and because you had not been cleaning your contacts properly. So what began is just, you know, him just traveling, going, oh, I don't need to clean the solution. I don't need to bring solution. I'll just reuse it. Then turned into...
Okay. Understand. So it's like when you travel all the time and they stop.
See, what had happened was...
So it's so difficult to take liquids through security anymore, right?
We know.
And so
we're
going to this place, and this happened two or three times. We're going to this church. I'm going early to rehearse with the band and the singers. This is before we could afford to take a band with us. So I have to go early to rehearse with the church band. And so I'm like, I don't want to check bags. I just want to get through security when I get to the airport, get right in the car and go to the hotel. So she's going to come the next day. So when I put my... I used the same solution a couple days in a row. I didn't do it all the
excuses. Time. So, yes. No, but see how easy it can happen. And we think something, you know, this is deeper, right? This is not just surface level what we're talking about here. We're talking about spiritual eye. How easy it is to just think.
Small thing.
Yeah. But what ended up happening then was this fungus began to grow and grow, and he ended up in late January 2018 having to have a cornea transplant because the fungal infection, he was going to lose the eye completely.
That means is somebody that died donated their body
organs,
for medical situations like this. So I have someone else's cornea, a person that died, on this eyeball. I call that resurrected vision.
Yeah. So let's talk about what began to happen. So when they did the cornea transplant, the doctor said, I'm actually going to do this transplant just to get the fungus out of the eye. And so...
We have to watch. I had to go back every 2 weeks because they wanted to make sure there was nothing left in the eye.
No other fungus, no spores. They said a little spore could be hidden in there that we didn't see and could begin to grow. So we would have to go back and check and make sure.
For every 2 weeks for several months, mm-hmm. probably up to 6 months, they had to see to make sure that this little small piece of dirt didn't leave any even smaller spores that could come back with a vengeance.
So I want to read Psalms 101, verses 3 through 8 in the Passion Translation, and then you can share about what began to open up to you once that was removed. But Psalms 101, starting in verse 3, and this is the Passion Translation, says, I refuse to gaze on that which is vulgar. I despise works of evil people and anything that... I love this. I despise works of evil people and anything that moves my heart away from you. I will not let evil hold me in its grip. Every perverse and crooked way I have put away from my heart, for I will have nothing to do with the deeds of darkness. I will silence those who secretly want to slander my friends, and I will not tolerate the proud and arrogant. Okay. My innermost circle will only be those whom I know are pure and godly.
Say that again.
My innermost circle will only be those whom I know are pure and godly. They will be the only ones I allow to minister to me. There's no room in my home for hypocrites, for I can't stand chronic liars who flatter and deceive. At each and every sunrise, I will awake to do what's right and put to silence those who love wickedness, freeing God's people from their evil grip. I will do all of this because of my great love for you, Jesus. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So what happened when they got...
Okay,
that fungus out
so
of your eye.
So this was like 6 weeks of excruciating pain. It's what's funny is this week, coincidentally, we're planning all of this, and I start seeing the Facebook reminders. 2 years ago, we had our Dwell worship night at the little church in McKinney, close to the square, and I had on those dark glasses with the other, even little, it's like this little plastic thing that goes even inside the glasses to make it. And it's like, even with all of that on, I had to close my eyes because the glare of the spotlight was so painful. But I was determined to worship. So I worshiped with my eyes closed. And so I persevered. I believed God was going to heal me because we've seen so many miracles.
Yeah.
But we got to this point after seeing the doctor every day, taking eye drops every hour of the day. I had to set alarms every hour of the night to get up and take different eye drops. They would rotate different ones. Jesus. And when I would put those drops in my eye, there was an open hole on my eye that was just that layer of skin, the cornea, was just torn. And so I would put these drops and it would just burn. And then an hour later, it would do it again and again.
Yeah.
And it was just horrendous. And then finally, the doctor said, if we don't do this transplant, you're going to lose the eye.
Yeah.
So we agreed to it. Okay, God, you work all things for our good. There's something else at work here. And
we believe they're going to get all of the infection out.
So we had the surgery. I go home with this patch on my eye that had to stay there for 24 hours. But the very night after they removed this fungus, the very night I go home, I start having divine visitations in my dream life.
Yeah.
Incredible encounters with the presence of God, unlike anything I'd ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah.
I would see, I don't, there's no, we can't even go into it. I'll just ask me sometime to share.
Share some of it, yeah.
Well, Share. Okay. Well, the whole album that is about to be released coming in February is called The Glory of Eden. And one of the dreams, I'm navigating in the presence of the Lord. I'm comfortable knowing that I'm in his presence, but in the dream, I'm in uncharted territory. And then it's like I come out of that presence place, and some entity that I don't really know how to describe comes out with me. And in the dream, I'm frustrated and embarrassed. I'm like, I need to get this back before somebody catches me with it. That's just how I felt in the dream. When I'm awake, it doesn't make sense that I was frustrated, but in the dream I was. And then I would wake up, and then I couldn't remember it. And for days and days, I must have dreamt this 30 or 40 times. And find so many times that finally I'm in this dream. And so throughout the night, I would dream it again and again and again. And so after several days of this, and I'm in the dream, and I'm like, okay, this is the part where I come out and I get frustrated, and I'm just saying this all to myself in the dream. And all of a sudden, while this, whatever it is with me, I hear a voice, a deep voice that wakes me from my sleep that said, the glory of Eden has broken through. I jolt up in bed. Such a reality of his presence is just on me. And I'm like, so I'm no longer bothered by what it was. Now I'm intrigued. The glory of Eden. What is the glory of Eden? Yeah. I think, okay, it's the place on the planet that God, a geographical location that God chose to walk with man. And so it's taken 2 years of research and praying and writing about the encounter. So as I wake up, I go into a vision. I'm having dreams, and then I go into a vision. I don't know if I'm young or old, because I'm doing both. And so I'm in this vision, and it's like there is, I reach back into the Eden place. And when I put my hand into that realm, as fast as Thor's hammer, the way I always described it, the answer for cancer was in my hand. And I pulled it into this realm, and I saw a girl, broken, wounded. And my instinct first was to give this entity, to give the glory of Eden to this broken girl. That happened before I reached in. And when I gave it to the girl, in what years of counseling could not fix in her life, in a moment she was healed and whole. And it would, to me, the girl represented the body of Christ, the bride of Christ.
Yeah.
And as I gave it to her, I felt the rush of heaven blow past me. And that's when I reached back, and that's when I found the answer. And I realized it was just this understanding that when in the Eden place, there is a room of orphaned miracles looking for a home.
Yeah.
I'd been given vision,
yeah,
to reality in the spirit realm that changes the way I pray for people.
Yeah.
Because I know what is just within reach.
Yeah.
God revealed in a vision. I don't have a scripture that can prove that the room is there, but I know the room is there because I was there.
Yeah.
One of many visions.
Yeah.
So then, should we share the lyric? The song's coming out soon. I don't know. I'll stop. There's a couple. Well, do they have Faith Sees? Do you have the lyric up? Just give me the lyric. We don't have to play the song. Oh, he doesn't have it ready. Is it going to come?
Here we go. Here it is.
There it is. We see prison cells. We see graveyards. We see broken lives and hopeless hearts. But faith sees a miracle looking for a home. We see armies rise. We face lions' dens. We hear giants roar. You will never win. But faith sees a miracle looking for a home. Okay, we can stop. That's the perspective. That is the whole what things look like in the natural realm, we can get so distracted by this natural realm. But God is wanting to, he's invited us to the mountain. He's invited us to this elevated place, this elevated perspective to see what is more real than the chair you're sitting on.
Yeah.
Okay, let's keep going.
I love that when the infection was removed, when the fungus was removed, you began to see like you've never in the spirit like you've never seen before. I'm going to read Matthew 6:22 in the NIV, and then I'm going to read the Passion Translation. Matthew 6:22, Jesus says, "The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light." The Passion Translation says, "The eyes of your spirit allow revelation light to enter into your being. If your heart is unclouded, the light floods in." Oh, I love that.
Say that.
If your heart is unclouded, the light floods in. Psalms 1. So as we're talking about, okay, what things do I need to remove? What do I need to eliminate from what I'm seeing? But now what do I need to gaze upon? What do I need to take in? Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 says, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way that sinners take or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers." Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I'm going to start midway through that because I want to say this. What are we supposed to be taking in? Paul says, "And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus." Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I want to say, if we don't see Jesus rightly, then our entire life will be out of alignment. If we don't keep our eyes fixed on him, as we were talking about this with our speaking team here at Dwell, the other day, Tanner Delano shared something with us, and I'm sure he's going to be speaking at the end of the month, and I'm sure he'll share this again. But he was talking about dove eyes. You know, in the Song of Solomon, one of the scriptures says, "But you have eyes like a dove." What are dove eyes? Doves actually don't have peripheral vision. They have very focused vision. So they see just right there what is right in front of them. So let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith.
Give us dove eyes.
Dove eyes, yes.
Give us dove eyes or give us Carson eyes.
Yeah. Ephesians 1. I'm going to go ahead and read this.
Yes.
Okay. This is what we want to declare over you today. And then we're going to get into, before we end here, we're going to end this with a declaration, a vision, a virtual vision board for Dwell Church. And we're going to make declarations. And every Sunday in January, as we continue this series, Eyes to See, we're going to declare this every Sunday in January and throughout the year. It's something that you're going to want to just keep with you and continue to declare over your family and over your life. But we want to read Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 19. It says, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe." The Message translation says, I ask the God of our Master to make you intelligent and discerning in knowing him personally. Your eyes focused and clear so that you can see exactly what it is he is calling you to do. Grasp the immensity of this glorious way of life he has for his followers. Oh, the utter extravagance of his work in us who trust him. Endless energy and boundless strength. That's what we want for you, Dwell Church, that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened, that you would see him and this glorious life that he has for you. Do you receive that? Do you want that? Come on, say, I want that. Say, open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Open the eyes of my heart,
I want to see you.
I want to see you.
Yes, yes, yes.
But so when we get, as we get ready to come to a close, we want to, in a prayer, like a surgical tool, we want to cut out the infection that you've perhaps allowed into your spirit, into your heart. We want to cut away the infection with the sword of his word. We want to take the blade of God's word and sever the infection from your heart and allow you to begin to see that you don't just depend on the man of God to come and tell you. It's not like the people of Israel saying, Moses, you go meet with them and then come tell us.
Yeah.
Well, that happens. That the corporate meeting is essential. But the corporate meeting is to fill you up and get clean off the lens that you wear so that you can go out into the world.
And then pick up the word of God daily.
Mm-hmm.
And clean your own lens daily.
So I shared a prophetic word to you on December the 8th. Back in the second Sunday of December. And this, I brought it, we copied and pasted and put it in our notes. I wanted to share it with you again. There is a shifting coming in a huge way, in a good way. The last few weeks, I don't know if you remember, there was a turning point in our worship that was like this force of God's presence came in like we hadn't experienced, and it was happening week after week after week. The last few weeks have marked a significant turn in our services that's setting us up for 2020, a supernatural shift that is positioning us for 2020. So I want to begin to speak the vision with no fear, to speak large, talk large. Whatever I see, say it. I see land. I see property. I see people owning with no debt. This is what I see. I see a choir singing at Dwell Church. I see hundreds of people coming, encountering the presence, the overflow of heaven. I see transformation over the Dallas area. I see revival. I see the glory, large glory, large miracles, large, large, large. Ah, and then I spoke about the spirit of David even a few weeks before that. And I used this passage of scripture, Acts the 15th chapter, verses 13 through 18. James broke the silence. These guys were arguing about the spirit of God being poured out on the Gentiles. So he was reaching beyond just the people of Israel. God was moving with the Gentiles and the Greeks, and Peter would go places and the Spirit of God would pour down, they would speak in tongues. And so now they're getting religious back in Jerusalem, and the church is trying to decide, you can't be saved if you're not circumcised. We have churches today that say, you can't be saved if you don't speak in tongues. People still have this divisive thing that goes on in the body of Christ. So they're having this argument. Arguments still go on today. James broke the silence after the argument. He said, friends, listen. Simeon has told us the story of how God at the very outset made sure that racial outsiders were included. This is in perfect agreement with the words of the prophet. He's talking about the prophet Amos. After this, I'm coming back. I'll rebuild David's ruined house. I'll put all the pieces together again. I'll make it look like new. So outsiders who seek will find. So they'll have a place to come to. All the pagan people included in what I'm doing. God said it, and now he's doing it. It's no afterthought. He's always known he would do this. So now James is quoting the prophet Amos. I want to go back, and I want to read you Amos's perspective and how he worded it. He said the same thing. I'll rebuild David's house, but I like this particular passage of scripture. He says, yes, indeed, it won't be long now, God's decree. Things are going to happen so fast, your head will swim. One thing fast on the heels of the other. You won't be able to keep up. Everything will be happening at once, and everywhere you look, blessings. Blessings like wine pouring off the mountains and hills. I'll make everything right again for my people. They'll rebuild their ruined cities. They'll plant vineyards and drink good wine. They'll work their gardens and eat fresh vegetables. And I'll plant them on their own land. Hear this prophetically. I'll plant you, Dwell Church, on your own land. You'll never again be uprooted from the land I've given them. God, your God, says so. So by the Spirit of God, we declare the written word of God, and we understand that the word is sharp as a sword. And with your word today, we cut out the infection. We cut out the cynicism. We cut out the gossip. We cut away the things that we've allowed into our spirit that affect the way we see. We remove it now. We remove it by the Spirit of God and say, your people are set free. We mark this day. We say our eyes are fixed like dove's eyes on Jesus. We'll refuse to look. We have to walk. We have to walk out into the world, but we refuse to take the world into our vision. We keep our hearts pure. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see. So we cut it away. We say, your people are clean. Your people are healthy. Lord, even as we release the glory of Eden in the vision to the young woman, here stands the woman. Here stands the bride. We release the glory of Eden, and we say, your people in this house are healthy and whole, with the ability to discern and see and witness the hand of God at work in our community and our families. We call it in the name of Jesus, and it is so. We see it. We see it in the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord.
Father, we thank you for clarity of vision. We thank you for dreams. Speak to us even in our dreams, Jesus. We want to declare this. We've put together a vision declaration for Dwell Church, and we're going to be using this all month long.
Can we say Habakkuk, second chapter, says, then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that they may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. I like the Message translation, the way they break it down. And then God answered, write this. Write what you see. Write it out in big block letters so that it can be read on the run. The vision message is a witness pointing to what's coming. It aches for the coming. It can hardly wait, and it doesn't lie. If it seems slow in coming, wait. It's on its way. It will come right on time.
Yes. So we declare this. Dwell Vision 2020. I want to say this together, okay? Let's declare this together. Let's say, our eyes are fixed on Jesus, and we declare we have eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to obey. We declare our families are healthy and whole. We declare Dwell Church will be planted in our own land. We declare Dwell Church will be an epicenter of outpouring and revival in the earth. Come on, why don't you lift up a shout? We agree together. We will see.
Thank you for joining us today at the Dwell Church Podcast. For more information about Dwell Church, visit us at dwell.church.